Mike Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. He's the only one that can fill that God-shaped vacuum within the life of every individual who is dead in trespasses and in sin, spiritually speaking, separated from God, and he alone can satisfy that hunger, that thirst. He alone can fill that part of our life and give us fulfillment, give us meaning, give us joy, give us peace, give us security. It all is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is Bob Griggs, and we're again looking into the Word of God. And last time we left off with John chapter 16 and verse 27. And I hope you have your Bible or New Testament, can follow along with us today in our time of studying the Word of God together here. In John 16 and verse 27, and remember, while you're getting your Bible and turning there, remember that we're talking about the blessings that are ours through being born into the family of God. New birth blessings is what we're talking about, and we're talking about the blessing of the Trinity and how God reveals and manifests himself to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're studying about in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And so we're looking at verse 27 of John 16, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. You see, beloved, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father is manifested, revealed, and made known unto us, and the truth of his great love is revealed. Now, we've been reading in 1 John chapter 4. If you'll turn with me there and hold your place, we'll be back to John 16. But in John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and remember, 1 John is a little book in front of the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the New Testament. So you go to the end of your Bible, go back a little ways past the book of Revelation, you find 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. You find those little short books, and 1st John is where we are, chapter 4. We've been discussing about God the Father and who he is and the love that he has for us. And he admonished us to love one another in verse 7. He said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You see, beloved, you can only truly show forth genuine agape love, which is a love of the will where you choose to love someone, irregardless of whatever the circumstances may be or the kind of individual they may be, that you love those who are in spiritual darkness, those who are even against you, that you can love them with the love of God, because they are deceived, they're blinded to the truth, they do not know the Lord Jesus, they're their own worst enemy because they're under the control of Satan and sin, and you have compassion for them, you care for them, you desire to bring them to Jesus, to bring them to a knowledge of the truth. Oh, how many there are in the world that are in that condition today, spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. And so he tells us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, that's the source of true love, is Almighty God. And we're talking about love that is sacrificial love, love that looks out for the object that is loved more than for selfish love. We're not talking about self and being self-centered. We're talking about loving others and reaching out to others. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, if an individual doesn't love others, they don't know God. They don't know the love that can be theirs through faith in the Lord God. He that is manifest in this was manifest, the love of God, verse 9, toward us. How was God's love manifest or revealed or made known? Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. This was the greatest way through which God revealed and made known His love, was by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to take on human form, to be born as a little babe, which is what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Christ, many centuries ago, when Christ was born, came into the world, and revealed God to us in a way that we could understand who God is. You remember the illustration about the ant. When I was a boy growing up out in West Texas, one of the states here in the United States, it was an area where there were a lot of ant beds, where ants made their homes. And I would walk up to an ant bed, and the vibration of my footstep would cause the ants to scurry around and hurry around. And I'd speak to them. I'd say, It's okay. I'm not going to hurt you. But my voice sounded like thunder to them. They couldn't understand what I was saying. They couldn't comprehend what I was saying. The only way I could have communicated with them was if I could have become an ant myself, could have walked among them, could have communicated with them the way ants communicate with each other. That's the only way I could have revealed to them that I wasn't going to hurt them, that I was only interested in what they were doing and interested in what was going on in their ant bed. And so the same is true of God. Almighty God so loved mankind that He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take on human form, to come to earth, to reveal, to make known, to explain to us who God is, and to show forth His love for us, to teach us about God the Father, to teach us about the Holy Spirit. And those are the words that we've been reading that are recorded in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. The Lord Jesus explaining to us about God the Father in a way that we could comprehend and understand. And so that's what verse 9 means. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That is, that we might have life through the Lord Jesus. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to be the one who died in our stead as our substitute, taking our sin upon Himself. For the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for sin. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through believing in and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the fact He died for our sin, was buried, that He arose from the grave, and asking Him to come into our life, He will send the Holy Spirit into our spirit to do that work of salvation. Remember, man is a triune being, created in the likeness and image of God. Man has a spirit, a soul, and a body, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I believe it is, that man has a spirit, a soul, and a body, just as there's God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. And so God created man in His likeness and in His image to reveal to us His love, to make known to us the joy and the peace and the forgiveness of sin that we can have through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this was by the means by which the love of God was manifested to us, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. That's the meaning of the word propitiation. The one who took our sin upon Himself. The one who became our substitute. The one who died for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And oh, the sweet love that Christians have for one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth with us, and His love is perfected in us. Now we're told in John also, over in the first part of John, that Jesus came to manifest and make known the Father to us in a way we could comprehend and understand God. And He says that no man hath seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, our accepting Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit, and He represents God the Father and God the Son living in us, Romans 8:9 tells us. And so we see the Holy Spirit indwells us, and His love is perfected, are made real, made right, made genuine, made true in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. You see, we're told in Romans 8 that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to someday rule and reign with the Lord Jesus during that 1,000-year millennial reign when Jesus comes back to set up His kingdom here upon the earth. We who know Jesus will then rule and reign with Him. Till next time, goodbye.